Isaiah 14:9, the Bible says, hell from the beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. I want to take this phrase and just preach a simple message tonight on the subject of hell, entitled, hell is moved for thee. Hell is moved for thee. Some 730 some odd times the word judgment is used in the Word of God. And we find it multiple places throughout the pages of the Word of God. Even though we know that it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance, there is no reason for goodness from God, nor something to be led away from without the knowledge of judgment. It is impossible to have a clear understanding of grace and the long-suffering of God and the mercy of the Lord unless there is a fear in our heart of the wrath of God and the judgment of God. For teaching or preaching to be what men have called judgment-free means that it is totally irrelevant. A message that is preached from the Bible that has no element of wrath and judgment has no meaning. A message from the Word of God that would bring about the grace of God, the mercy and long-suffering of God, without unveiling the fact that God does judge sin, would be a message that is without purpose and without reason. It is the vain repetition of the heathen, amen, a message that brings about a thought process without bringing people to the need to make a decision about the grace of God. They are clouds without water. It may bring about a smile. A message of sorts may bring about a laugh, but will never establish the faith nor prepare a soldier for the war that they are engaged in as a child of God, nor will it bring the soul to the crossroads of decision to unveil to them the need to get right with God. Here in our text, we are introduced to a place where people are. Both poor and prominent make their abode in this place called hell. And the Bible said that hell is moved for thee. It is where sinners are punished and sin is condemned. It seems to be a very rare topic in this day of religion that we live in. But I promise you tonight, God, amen, is very aware of the reality of hell, amen. And the devil tonight is very aware of what is going on in the regions of the damned where men are punished and where sin is condemned. It is there that a killer is punished and killing is condemned. It is there that thieves are punished and thievery is condemned. It is there that coveters are punished and covetousness is condemned. It is there that rebels are punished and rebellion is condemned. It is there that revilers are punished, amen, and reveling is condemned. It is there that adulterers are punished and adultery is condemned. It is there that fornication is punished and the fornicator is condemned. It is there that drunkards are punished and drunkenness is condemned. No one is ever let out for good behavior. No one is ever let loose. There is no hope. No one is ever released because a mistake has been made. Those that are in hell are there for eternity. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that hell is a place of everlasting fire. It tells us in Matthew 25 that hell is a place of everlasting punishment. We are told in Jude 1 that it is a place of everlasting change. We are told in Mark 3 that it is a place of eternal fire. We are told in Matthew chapter number 3 that there is unquenchable fire in this place called hell. We are told in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 43 that the fire there is never quenched. We are told in Luke 3 that the fire is unquenchable. In 2 Peter that it is the midst of darkness where that is reserved forever, and the blackness of darkness forever in Jude 1. It is a place of eternal judgment. It is a place where sin is judged. And the Bible said in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And it's very important this evening that you understand that God wants you aware of this place called hell. Jesus spoke of it more than he did any other topic in his earthly ministry. Hell is a real place. And the Lord Jesus desires that you be aware of this place called hell. The Lord has a desire that you be assured that there is a place called hell. The Jehovah's Witnesses have tried to say that there is no hell, that death is just the end, and the grave is hell. But I promise you tonight that there is a literal place called hell where literal people are faced with the judgment of an eternal and loving God because of their sin. Hell is real tonight. And this Bible and God and the entire triune of the Godhead desires that you are aware of hell, that you are assured of hell, but God wants you to be afraid of hell. It seems as if we have lost a fear of the fear of God. It appears in this generation of Christianity that sin seems to be irrelevant to you and I as the people of God, and we see no sinner in reality going to hell. We don't view our children and our grandchildren when they are lost without God. We are more worried about frivolous things that are meaningless in their life and they might miss out on, and we have lost sight of the eternal judgment and fire of a place called hell, and our children and our young people and our young families are not concerned nor afraid of this place. But hell is real. It is a literal place. A number of years ago, a doctor that dealt with cardiovascular disease, he resuscitated many people who had been clinically dead. The man was a devout atheist. He considered all religion, what he would say, would be just some hocus-pocus thing, and death to him as a physician and with his atheistic views was nothing more than a painless extinction. But in 1977, something brought that to a dramatic change in his life. He was dealing with a man and in his medical field trying to bring him back to life. And this man began to, in a terrifying manner, scream as he was faced with death. Each time he regained heartbeat and respiration, the patient would scream out, "I'm in hell! I'm in hell! I'm in hell!" He was terrified and pleaded with the doctor to help him. The man said, the doctor, after this event had taken place in a book, said, "I was scared to death." He said, "Then I noticed a genuinely alarmed look on his face. He had a terrified look, worse than any expression I have ever seen on a human being that had died and stepped out into eternity. This patient had a grotesque grimace expressing sheer horror. His pupils were dilated and he was perspiring and trembling, and he looked as if his hair was on end. Then still another strange thing happened. He said, "You don't understand. I'm in hell. Don't let me go back to hell." The doctor realized that he was in serious trouble. He said, "It occurred to me that he was indeed in trouble. He was in a panic like I'd never seen before." This man said, "No one who could ever heard his screams and saw the look of terror on his face could doubt for a single minute that he was actually in a place called hell." And I submit unto you tonight that hell is a real place. And I tell you something tonight, if there's ever been a thing that we need to be afraid of as the people of God and be scared to death, amen, for those that are lost without God, it is we should have a revival tonight in our heart and our mind of the reality of the place called hell, and the reality that men that die in sin without God truly go there. Beneath my feet tonight, not very many miles, is a burning inferno that rages with fire that is only fueled by the sin of man. Now you need to think about that. I've heard different scientists and read different documentaries of what they have discovered in the heart and the core of the earth. Some have said it's 12,000 degrees. I don't know, and I don't know how they can determine that tonight. But under my feet, not very far at all, according to what this Bible teaches, in the heart of the earth, there is a burning molten inferno that is fueled since man sinned in the garden and God began to place souls there because of their rejection of his grace. Because of their rejection of his person, because their rejection of truth. And tonight, as I speak to you, young and old, rich and poor, kings and paupers are in that place trying to pay the debt of sin that no earthly human being outside of the Lord Jesus will ever be able to pay. And I tell you tonight, hell's a literal place. Hell is a loathsome place. In Luke chapter 16, most of you are familiar with those verses. We read about the rich man that died and lifted up his eyes in hell. We are reminded in those verses that that man, when he died and lifted up his high eyes in this place of torment, amen, that he expresses to Abraham, he said, "I am tormented in this flame. Can anybody help me? Just a drop of water, please." And as we look at those verses and meditate upon the truths and the principles that we see concerning the rich man that is in hell, we find many things out about this place. We find out that you can see in hell, even though it is outer darkness, a darkness that is so deep and thick that you could fill it with your hands, yet a man can see in hell. A man can smell there. A man can breathe there. A man can hear there. A man can feel there. I mean, Lazarus, amen, is in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man is in hell. And the Bible said, "Oh, would you please go send Lazarus to tell my brothers not to come to this
this awful place of torment. The Bible tells us that hell is a place of weeping. It is a place of wailing. It is a place where men are gnashing their teeth. It is a place of darkness. It is a place of flames, of burning, of torments, of everlasting punishment, of everlasting fire. Hell is a loathsome place. It is there. In that place that men pay for their own sin. But no one is ever able to relinquish the debt in this place. Hell is real. The reality of hell. He says in our verse, hell from beneath is moved for thee. Hell from beneath is moved for thee. Oh, preacher, I'm not going to hell. I got saved when I was 5 or 6 or 7 years old. But I tell you what, it's never changed your life. I don't know why you think it'd change your destination in eternity. You listening to me? Oh, preacher, you know, I've been baptized. I've been a good church member. My daddy's a preacher. My daddy's a missionary. Hey, man, my mom and dad's lived for God. I've sang in the choir. Oh, that's wonderful and fine if you're saved. But if you're lost without God and have never experienced the changing power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll avail you nothing come judgment day. The reality of hell, hell, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Secondly, the room in hell. He said hell is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. So begin to think about this phrase and this word. I'm reminded of what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, and I want to read several verses from this chapter if you want to flip back a few pages. In Isaiah 5 and verse number 11, the Bible says in verse 11 of Isaiah 5, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning that they may fall a strong drink, that continue until night till wine inflame them, and the harp and the vial, the tabret and the pipe, and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. He says, because of this, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean men shall be brought down, the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Hail. Is moved for thee. It has enlarged itself. I don't know. They tell us that of all the billion, what, maybe 40 billion people estimated to have lived on the earth, and they don't know that, but 40, I think that's what they said or what I've read somewhere. But they said that it wouldn't take a very big space, just 100 square miles or so to take care of every human being that's died at this point since Adam. And we know that hell was designed by God to judge the devil and his angels. Because of the rebellion in the beginning against God.
But we know in the word of God that hell hath enlarged itself. And Isaiah tells us in this verse that hell from beneath is moved for thee. It's making room for you tonight. Rearranging things. Whatever it takes to occupy and to accommodate you, hell is taking care of that. Hell is enlarged itself. Hell is excited about you coming. You ever just watched a fire? It's kind of, you know, a mesmerizing thing. Fire is. People go to have a bonfire, and you know, a lot of folks just, myself, I told my wife I'd like to move my chair around, and I got set over by the side of the fireplace, and I like to watch the fire, the flames, the coal, the embers, they begin to glow, and the flames lick in different directions, and it's just sitting there almost with an anticipation and an excitement for one more stick of wood, for one more piece of fuel to consume and to burn. And that is just the way hell is portrayed here in this verse. It is excited. It is very desirous that you come, for the flames there are fueled by the sin that you will die in. Hell is eager for you to come. It wants you to be there. It reaches out for you, and it encourages you to be a part. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Hell is real. Preachers have tried to, Baptist preachers of prominence have tried to put out the fire in hell. Independent Baptist preachers have neglected the subject. But hell is a real place. Real people go there. And real pain is experienced for eternity. And you young people need to understand that. Pastor Willis said this past week. He said when he got saved because he didn't want to go to hell. Amen. That's a pretty good reason to give your heart to God tonight. And I realize and preach that the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you get afraid of hell, if you are aware of hell, if you know that hell awaits you, if you are assured that there is a place where men's sin is judged throughout eternity, then you will realize that Calvary is more precious than you ever could imagine. That the blood of Jesus Christ is superior, amen. And you'll thank God more than you ever have for the grace of God and the goodness of God and the fact that God, amen, sent his son to die for your sin. Amen. Amen. Sinners die and go to hell. Sinners die and go to hell. And the room and the provision is made to meet you. If you left out of here tonight, it's raining, the roads are slick, anything can happen at any given time. In the next 3 days, we stood over your casket to say what words we could say about your life. Could we, with a confirmed heart and assurance in our soul, in reality, say that we know that they did not die and go to hell? Hell is a real place. The room of hell is seen in this verse where the prophet said, hell from beneath is moved. It's moved for thee. Then the reception of hell. Hell from beneath is moved for thee. You.
not just this section or this pew or that pew. But hell is moved for thee to receive you. It's not interested in your family. Because you see, in this verse, your family is not meeting you when you get there, just hell is. You see, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And tonight, as the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and every man, woman, boy, and girl that has had the opportunity to respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus and have rejected that gospel and turned their back on the truth and the blood of Jesus and have forsaken the right way to live their own self-will, self-governed life. I was talking to someone tonight and I said, salvation is the kingdom of God. Do you know what that means? You don't get saved without having a concept that salvation deals with the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God deals with the reality that there is a sovereign and a servant. You're not going to step into a kingdom without knowing that there's a sovereign, there's a servant. Somebody is Lord. Amen. Somebody, amen, is subject. We want a salvation with no kingdom. We want a God with no lordship. Amen. Are you listening? We want a heaven without a hell, but there is no heaven without hell. And there is no God without a kingdom. But when we consider the reception of hell tonight, the Bible said that hell from beneath is moved for thee. No family going to meet you there. You listen to me, your granddaddy and your grandma and your family that's died, lost in religion or lost in some cult. You think, well, preacher, I'm going to go to hell because that's where my boy is. That's where my daughter is. Preacher, I had a mama that died. She was a drunkard and a wicked woman. I had a daddy that was a God-cussing heathen. And the only way I'll see him again is if I die and go to hell. But your daddy ain't going to meet you in hell. Your mother's not going to meet you in hell. Your sons and your daughters are not going to meet you in hell. The only thing that will receive you is hell itself, the flame, the torment, the fire, the furnace, captivity forever. No friends are going to meet you there. All those buddies you've run with and all those people that you consider your acquaintance that you've seemingly enjoyed a life of sin and the lust and pleasure of worldliness are not at all going to meet you there. There's no friends in hell. There's no family in hell. And there's no fun to meet you in hell. Just torment, pain, and judgment. I have a great burden tonight. We have a generation of young families that have no mindset of God's judgment. They never can rejoice about God's grace because they know nothing of the measure of God's judgment. They have no testimony of salvation because they don't understand or they have not had an understanding of the judgment on sin. God help us tonight. The only thing that's going to meet you in hell is hell itself. But hell itself is going to receive you. There is a reception. There is a welcome mat. Hell is real. There's room There's room there for you, and there's a reception. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Are you going? Is that where you are going to spend eternity? If tonight you were going to offer reason, if tonight you could present your case before a triune God, honestly tonight in your heart and in your deep of your soul, has there been a changing experience of the power of the gospel that would assure you a place in heaven and escape the damnation of hell? You know, the rich man, when he died and lifted up his eyes in hell, he shows and voices a concern for his lost family. It's amazing that he never communicates with Lazarus about any of his other family that might be there with him, because there's no family there. You see, there's no friends and there's no family and there's no fun in hell, because everybody is an enemy in hell. There's no camaraderie there in that place of judgment, but everyone is an enemy. There's gnashing of teeth, and there's weeping, and there's wailing, and there's screaming, and there's torment, and there's no relationship. There's no one to lean on. There's no one to talk to. There's no one to care. Hell is a real place. He said, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Thy coming. Thy coming. When you get there. When you get there. Say, preacher, you don't understand. I plan, I'm going to tell you what you plan. You plan to do a lot of things. But we are told statistically tonight that 3 people die every second. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. 1,004. 12 people just went into eternity. Do you understand that? Just in the seconds that I just talked, that I just clicked off in my mind and with my lips, 12 people stepped out to face God's judgment. 180 people every minute died. Since we've been to church, thousands of people have gone into eternity. Automobile accident, heart attack, stroke. It is appointed unto men once to die. Now, so preacher, I don't understand all that. That's just not a reality to me, because I'm healthy and I'm seemingly doing fine. That makes no difference. Death don't care how healthy you are. Death don't care what kind of plans you have for tomorrow.
Death don't care how young your child is tonight, Dad. Death does not care tonight what kind of talent you have, what kind of money you have, what kind of job you have. Death does not care.
And hell is very anxious for you to get there. And as Brother Wells testified the other night, I'm just a step. There's just a step between me and death. And he was rejoicing in that step because he was saying, "Preacher, I'm closer to heaven than I ever can imagine. Just a step and I'd be in the portals of glory, beholding the face of my dear Savior and worshiping him and magnifying him. But for those that are not saved, for those that are lost in their sin, just one step, just one step between you and eternal judgment." Hell is moved for thee. Hell is moved for thee. Hell is moved for thee. To meet thee at thy coming. Thy coming. Nobody's going to send you there. You see, it's a choice that you make. It's a direction that you take. You're the one that's going. Hell is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Why are you going to go to hell tonight? Do you know? Do you? That Bible said in the book of Mark that if your eye offend thee, you'd be better off to pluck your eye out and live the rest of your life maimed with only one eye than for what that eye is looking at to so grip your soul and so distract your attention that you cannot by faith trust the gospel. He said you'd be better off to reach in and physically pluck and pull your eye out by the roots than die and go to hell with both your eyes. What you looking at taking you to hell tonight? He said, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. He said, you'd be better off to take an axe, a saw, and mutilate your hand and remove it from your body. If what that hand is reaching out for and holding on to is going to take you to hell. The Lord goes through the different members of the body. He says, if it offends thee, pluck it out, cut it off, sever it, take it away. It'd be better for you to live the rest of your life maimed, impaired, in physical turmoil than to wake up in a place called hell, where God judges sin and the intense heat of the fire is fueled by the sin of man. You need to understand that. The fire in hell is intense because of man's sin. And it's made room for you. And it's ready to receive you. And it's very real. And I wonder tonight, are you listening to me? I wonder tonight, are you going to that place called hell?